It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The Green Bay school system has been through a transformation in the last couple of decades. In 1990, 17 students at Green Bay's public schools were Spanish-speaking English language learners. Today, there are over 3,000 ELL Spanish-speaking students. And Hispanics, not all of them only Spanish speakers, comprise 27% of the school population. But the English Language Learner Program serves 4,700 students in Green Bay. Hmong families have been part of this number, steadily growing from the 1980s. But in the last few years, the Fox Valley has seen an influx of Somali students. That means hiring more bilingual teachers and learning new customs and creating a welcoming atmosphere. Today, we're talking about how Green Bay is dealing with diversity when people enmeshed in helping immigrant communities. Julie Seafeld is the director of English Language Learner Programs at Green Bay Area Public Schools. Julie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Carrie. Great to be here.
And we are also talking to Melanie Maska, who runs Casa Alba here in Green Bay. Welcome to the program, Melanie.
Thank you, Carrie. Good morning.
So have you, listeners, seen a growth in immigrant students in your school district? What are the challenges and rewards that you have found as a parent, as a teacher, as a student? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, ideas@wpr.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Julie, we're going to start with you. You have spent your entire career helping to integrate immigrant populations into schools. You were in Las Vegas when that changed in the 1990s.
Correct.
Sometimes you can plan for an influx of immigrants, and sometimes you can't. Tell me what happened in August of 2016.
So in August of 2016, we had a large influx of Somali immigrants. In 2012-13, we had around 90 Somali students. The following year, it went to around 180. But then that next year, it jumped to around 400.
Wow.
So it was a surprise. That population has steadily maintained itself. The last school year we had approximately close to 600 Somali students in Green Bay.
So it does keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they coming from and why are they coming here?
Well, what the families are telling us is that Green Bay is a great place to raise family. There are jobs here. There's affordable housing. And the neighborhoods that they can rent or purchase homes are very nice, safe neighborhoods. We have public transportation in Green Bay. And the families do tell us that they love the schools.
They love the school. So you had this influx of Somali. Did you have Somali-speaking teachers at the time?
We were very fortunate. We did have a Somali bilingual paraprofessional at that time. We now have around 8 Somali paraprofessionals. And to meet the family needs, the district has hired a Somali family engagement coordinator.
And is Somali the only language that the people from Somalia speak?
No. A lot of the families do speak Arabic, and it does depend where they were schooled in Africa, what second language they are speaking. So it's not just the language of Somali.
And you are hiring teachers who can speak those languages.
We do not currently have any Somali-speaking teachers. Mm. We have Somali-speaking bilingual paraprofessionals.
So what do the paraprofessionals do?
They are a support for the student in the classroom to help them access the curriculum. They are a support for parents. They will translate documents that go home, phone calls home, be that bridge between the school and the family.
So if I come into a school and I speak another language other than English, and my teacher only speaks English, what is my experience like?
So we do have, in the Green Bay schools, we have bilingual paraprofessionals who speak Somali, Hmong, and Spanish. If there is a language other than those three, we do have something, it's called Language Line, and it's a number that any staff can call, and it is a three-way call between a family, or if the parent is in front of you, the phone can be put on speakerphone, so a conversation can take place with the family and that school employee.
And in the classroom, How am I learning from somebody who doesn't speak my language?
So we have a lot of strategies that are good for students who are learning English, and we have ESL teachers who will work with those classroom teachers to help them with those strategies. For example, lots of visuals, lots of time for students to talk that language, partner work, a lot of gestures. Those are some instructional strategies that really help the English learners and help them access that curriculum.
We were talking about diversity in Green Bay, specifically how it manifests in public schools here. I want to talk about food service workers. Like, this is a big deal because you've had to modify what kinds of foods you serve in schools.
So we started having family meetings with parents back in 2012, the Somali families, and pork was something that the students could not eat. And so we worked with food service. We had many meetings, and we would send notification home to parents as to, on the elementary lunch days, this breakfast, it has a cereal on it that has marshmallows, so that contained pork. Mm-hmm. So food service...
Because marshmallows have gel in
correct.
It.
They correct. Correct.
Right, come from pork, mm-hmm. yes.
So food service then, like all of the pepperoni pizza, is actually not made with pork. So it was educating the families as to the options mm-hmm. that we have are do not contain pork.
So you have people in place that speak the language now. We are taking your calls on this, 800-642-1234. What have you seen, especially in the Green Bay area, have you seen the change in population? What do you think of this change in population? Have your children come home talking about people who speak different languages and what they are learning in school from people from other countries? We're going to now welcome Sister Melanie Maska. She is the executive director of Casa Alba, which provides services for the area's Latinx immigrant communities. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So this is where Casa Alba comes in terms of before there was this Somali influx, there was a Spanish-speaking influx of people. When did that start coming to the area?
We were aware of it probably the late 80s. There were several families here who began working in the meatpacking companies, and I was working at St. Willibrord Church at the time. So we heard that there were a number of Hispanics in the community. I even asked the question, where? And someone said, just look around the community and you'll see them. So during the 90s is when the community started increasing in numbers, settling here within the community, working a lot of the jobs that would be the meatpacking, the landscaping, the farming, and so on.
So in the Green Bay schools in 1995, 3% of our students were Latinos, and by 2000, 15% were Latinos. Mm-hmm.
And now it is up to what, 27%,
it's
right?
close to 20, like 28%, 27.6.
What Casa Alba does, it works with kids in the schools
right.
and placing them in the schools, but you also work with the whole family. You work with a whole system.
Correct. Casa Alba is a safe and welcoming center for people to come. I found that when I went to Mexico, many times I felt disoriented. I didn't know where to go for any kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that when people come into our community, they should feel that there's a place they can go to and just ask the questions. If I have health concerns, if I have school concerns, where do I go? Casa Alba is sort of a hub. We connect with more than 70 different service providers in the community and network people who are looking for help, who are searching information. We network them with the people who provide those services.
You guys have a senior citizens group, right?
We do, yes. And the exciting thing about it is it's growing. And the people who come to that, they're Spanish-speaking, but they're now from at least 6 different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting to know each other, and together they're getting to know the community. They take field trips. They interact with people at Aging and Disability Resource Center, at the YWCA, and it's an opportunity for people to not only feel secure because they're with others who speak their language, but also to feel more a part of the community itself.
We are talking about changing demographics. In Green Bay, we are broadcasting from Green Bay today and tomorrow. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We had a conversation last week, Melanie, about after-school sports and about how immigrants do or don't participate in after-school sports. What is it that you're doing to help them participate, and why is it that they might not?
The reason a lot of the young people don't there are several reasons. One of them is that many times the cost of the additional materials they need is something that the family can't handle. A lot of times it's scheduling. The older children wind up babysitting at home. And another is oftentimes self-esteem. The program that we have, Green Bay Youth Training, was actually originated by some Latino high school track and field athletes who decided that they were going to start motivating younger students. So they got a hold of some middle grade, middle school students, got them walking and then jogging and then running, and got them in the Bell and Run and eventually the Cellcom Run. They went on to college, and the moms felt this was a good thing. So we now have a group of more than 50 young people, ages 5 through 15, who are introduced to different sports. And the primary goal is not so much the athletics as the building of self-confidence and self-esteem and the support of each other.
We did something the other day on early childhood education. You have an early childhood education at your center.
It's a very simple early childhood family program. There are some retired educators from UWGB who offer a class one day a week. Mom comes with the 3 or 4 year old who isn't yet in the school system and learns different ways of being able to do home activities to help their children feel more comfortable. A lot of times parents who come into the community aren't comfortable or don't know how to access resources. So these teachers interact with the parents. And when Julie was talking, I thought that was very interesting. The teachers do not speak Spanish. The moms, for the most part, don't speak English. But within a few sessions, they're very comfortable with each other. They realize they can communicate. Their common interest is something that's exciting to both of them. The children feel more comfortable. So by the time they do go into the school system, the parents are less hesitant to come because they've already interacted with individuals who don't speak their language.
And do the moms learn to speak, you know, in this setting, do they learn to speak English along with their little children?
Things are done bilingually. Every song they have, the teachers will ask, do you have a Spanish song you sing? Okay, now let's find the English words for it, and we'll sing it in both languages. We have bilingual books. The teacher will read the page in English, the mom in Spanish, and the parents take the books home. So it gives them an opportunity now to practice English.
So, Julie, one of the things that I found interesting is that a lot of people who come here from South American and Central American countries, well, Central American mostly, don't go to school past sixth grade. So you get them.
Correct.
And what is the cultural issue that you have to deal with parents to get them past sixth grade? Do parents want them to keep going?
So when the families move here, they do enroll their students in the schools because for the families, education is key.
And that may be why they're moving here.
That could be a reason, exactly. So the students, we do have some students who come to us in middle school, high school, who have very interrupted or limited education. And so we meet those students where they are at and close those gaps as quickly as we can. And those students want to learn. They are really desperate to learn.
How many Latinx people are there in Brown County? Do you know, Melanie?
We still estimate about 25,000. That is an average that we've heard on a regular basis. It's kind of stabilized, and that would be throughout the county.
And what is the biggest need right now that you're finding?
There are several needs. One of them, I think, is the whole acceptance of the fact that Latinos are basically part of the community, that their hopes, their dreams for themselves, for their children, are the same as everybody else's. And yet many times with the atmosphere that exists, many times it's anti-immigrant, and so people feel maybe we're not welcome. But they're contributing marvelously to our community, and this is something that I've always said. I go way back again to the late 80s and the early 90s, that Green Bay is new enough at diversity that we can do this right. We could be a very welcoming community, and I think that's probably the most important thing.
So do you get people who are against, do you get phone calls from people? Do the people who come to Casa Alba find a bigotry in their lives?
We don't get many phone calls. We have a very supportive response from the community. I guess I want to keep telling people that I find more positive, affirming help and atmosphere among our service providers, among the community. Yes, there is reaction among people, but as a whole, we are, and I hope we continue to be, a welcoming community.
You are involved with helping people get citizenship. You're also working with DACA people, right?
Right.
Talk to me about what you're doing there. I'm going to have to interrupt you in a moment to go to break, but start talking to me.
Okay. We have a volunteer who is trained to work with individuals who want to apply for DACA. Up until this past year, she was helping with applications and renewals. Now, renewals are the only thing that can be done. There's a real concern with that because the young people who come forward for DACA are people who have been part of the community for a long time. I have seen them grow up. They've been here, you know, 3 years old, 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And the really saddest thing I found when we first worked with DACA was for a young person to come in with this little card saying, "Now I count." And I think you've counted always.
I'm going to stop you there. Okay. We're going to get back to this. Green Bay's population is getting more diverse, and that comes with challenges. We're going to explore this in a moment. I do want to note that we talked earlier in the show with Kevin Nicholson, who is running for the Republican nomination in the race for U.S. Senator. We ended it pretty abruptly. We had a caller that kind of took us to the end, and we would like to have talked longer. Still, WTPR has set time to talk with the primary candidates, and we want to give each candidate the same amount of time. So in fairness to the other candidates, we did not extend our conversation with him. So the conversation about Green Bay and diversity in Green Bay continues. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Every few years, Fox Cities have commissioned life surveys, leading indicators for excellence. One of the questions in 2011 and 2016 was about the growing diversity of the area. Only a third of respondents said diversity was having a positive impact. Another third said it was having a negative impact. The rest were either not sure or said it had no impact at all. So what do you think? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking right now to Melanie Maska, who is the executive director of Casa Alba. We're also talking to Julie Seafelt of the Green Bay Public Schools, and we are taking your calls. Let's talk about lack of special needs assistance. You told me, Melanie, that there are no psychologists or psychiatrists here who speak Spanish.
We really have to struggle for that. There are maybe one or two individuals who do speak Spanish. We do have some contact in the Human Services Department, but a lot of times the access that to services that are that personal and are difficult to use an interpreter, mm-hmm, are not available within this community.
And you find people who come here with trauma?
they're actually dealing with a lot of trauma. Families deal with everything every other family does, but the additional stress of being a newcomer to a community, not knowing the community, not knowing if they're always accepted, a lot of the stress of work. Many people try very hard to learn a language in addition to working and raising their children and trying to do everything else. And this, just as I think, are doubled.
We are taking your calls on this, 800-642-1234. Mary from Madison, welcome to the program, Mary.
Good morning. I love this subject. I have a couple comments. One is, first question is, does the public school in Green Bay provide community schools type of model? And that includes dual language, which will help students learn both languages, their native language and English, starting from kindergarten and then slowly weaving out into more of 100% English as they get older. That will help in the long term as they become adults and be more productive adult in the society. Second thing is, it has to be a two-way communication. I appreciate the fact that staff members in the school districts provide assistance. However, what we as a society, we are lacking in the fact that we're not educating our own American Caucasian students about the different cultures. So when you receive diversity or different ethnic groups that move into your community, not only do these students struggle with language, but now they have to deal with the whole culture in terms of bullying, and that affects their mental and their abilities to learn. Those are my comments.
Thank you very much. So community schools, do you integrate everybody?
So yes, to answer that question, the Green Bay Area Public Schools does offer a dual language program for not only our Spanish-speaking English learners, but also for students who grew up speaking English who would like to be bilingual, biliterate, and bicultural as well. So we have a dual language program in 18 schools, and right now we have about 1,600 students who are enrolled in our dual language program.
And some of them are English speakers.
Correct.
Who are trying to...
Okay. Correct.
A lot of times when you have people who only speak one language, who only speak Arabic, or who only speak Spanish, are they isolated from the rest of the school? Are they integrated in classrooms with help from people who speak their language?
A little bit of both. We do have students integrated as much as we can, but, if you are a 10th grader new to the country, you may have a two-hour English language development class where you are with other English learners learning English so you can fully participate in your classes.
One of the things that we talked about last week, Julie, is paraprofessionals are hard to hire, especially when
Somali.
We have a really, really great economy, specifically Somali paraprofessionals. What are you doing right now?
So we have been recruiting all summer long for Somali paraprofessionals, and we have worked with the local job agencies here in Green Bay. We have reached out to the Somali people who work in Green Bay. We have contacted Minnesota and are putting ads there. With the economy as great as it is right now, it is hard to find people to work a school year because the paraprofessionals don't get paid in the summer. Mm. So then if you have a family, then you need to find that second job. But unfortunately, when they find that second job, they stay.
Yes.
I'd like to add, too, that the children pick up English very quickly. In fact, many times we not only encourage the kids to learn English, but we say, don't lose your other language. How wonderful it would be if all children in our community were at least bilingual, if not trilingual.
My children will agree with you. They only pretty much speak English. Matt from De Pere, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Welcome. Great morning.
Yes, it is. What's your comment?
I have worked I currently work as a bilingual substitute teacher in the Green Bay Public Schools, and I've also worked at the Job Center where I picked up the Somali language. And I think that one of the things that I keep hearing about the language and learning a language, one of the things that I had to tell my coworkers sometimes that were just like, why don't these people just learn the language? I like to compare language to juggling. For me, I could never juggle. But I know some people can hold a ball in the air. Some people can do two balls. And then some people pick up juggling really easily. And I found people who in the community would be working their hardest to try to learn language and still couldn't, had very difficult times with it, and other people who would pick it up very quickly. And living in Green Bay in the area, it's just really the diversity that it's added and the cultural mosaic that's added is just wonderful. And one of the ways that it's reflected is in our farmers market. Yeah. You go to our farmers market, and it is just a hugely diverse community.
So you speak Somali, and the Green Bay School District is looking for Somali speakers. I'm just mentioning that. I'm just kind of putting that out there. I don't know if you need an extra job.
I mainly speak Somali job-oriented.
Okay, fine. We've got a few callers here. Thank you for calling, Matt. I appreciate that. Jeff from Green Bay, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for the great program. I know both guests and that. I was just going to mention that there are a lot of volunteer opportunities for people to help individuals to learn English and to interact with our diverse communities. I've been a volunteer with Casa Alba, and I've also, as has my spouse, and also I've been a volunteer with Literacy Green Bay, and there are other literacy-based organizations. They'll train you to be tutors and things with English, and I would highly recommend that people, not just in Green Bay, but around the state, get involved with literacy programs in their respective areas of the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. That's a great idea. You learn when you teach, and people like to learn. We've got a few minutes left and lots of calls. Paul from Door County, welcome to the program. Paul? Is he there?
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning. I just wanted to point something out. One of your guests had mentioned that kids pick up English really quickly. I think it's important to keep in mind that it depends on how old the child is before they come into the school system.
Right.
A sophomore in high school trying to pick up English who's a native Spanish speaker or Somali speaker is going to have an incredible challenge ahead of them. And whether or not they're successful really depends on how successful they are in the school system that is of their native tongue. So,
and you are an ESL teacher, correct?
Yes, I am.
So how do you help? And I assume you're teaching in high school?
No, I teach K through 8.
Okay, so how do you deal with the older kids who come in who are having a harder time?
One of the things that I like to do is try to find a buddy to help them, because the reality is that the kids at that age are going to pick up English just as quickly by talking to their peers or being in the lunchroom as they are in the classroom. And academic English is very different than conversational English. Mm. And so conversational English, so to answer your question, I would hook them up with a peer. I would try to maybe find an adult in the community that is both fluent in both Spanish and English to try to get that kid up. But, to be honest, a 10th grade kid coming in who speaks Spanish only, you're really shooting to try to get him to understand conversational English, because academic English is going to be extremely difficult.
Thank you very much, Paul, for that. I'm going to go back to you, Melanie, for the last couple of questions. Immigration worries. We have kids, I keep calling them kids, they're in their 30s at this point, who are on DACA. And it seems that DACA is going to be staying. There have been a number of judicial decisions that say we need to restart DACA. It's not just that you can renew, but new people can come on. Okay. There are families, though, that are not citizens, that are not eligible for DACA, or perhaps their children are on DACA and the parents aren't. What are those families saying to you?
They're worried. Because in many families, you may have a mix. There may be someone who is a citizen or a resident and others who haven't had that opportunity and don't qualify any longer because of regulations. I think throughout the community, there's a real anxiety right now. Because over the years, I remember each time we would have a new election, I would say to the Latinos, now maybe immigration, comprehensive immigration will be considered. And they looked at me and said, when it happens, we'll get excited. Mm. But for now, we won't. And over the years that I have worked, the 28 years that I have worked with the Latino community, I think the concern has increased, the worry has increased.
And there are people coming to you trying to figure out what happens to their kids if they get deported, yes?
Right. We've worked on parental authorization for, or power of attorney for parental authorization with more than 90 families. Many times the children, if they come home and their parents aren't there, are afraid that maybe something happened immigration-wise.
And that's a stressor in and of itself, and affects kids in school, I'm sure. We have been talking to Sister Melanie Masca, who runs Casa Alba. She's the executive director of Casa Alba, which helps the Hispanic community here in Green Bay. We've also been talking to Julie Seafelt. She's the director of English Language Learner Programs at Green Bay Area Public School District. There are a lot of questions we didn't get to ask either of you, but I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
It's good to be here.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.